Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Sarah McVannell, a chief recognition officer, professional speaker, and also someone known as the Frog Lady, which we will get into as well. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you for having me. I love how you're using my very official term of the Frog Lady.
I know, and I love it. And so our audience knows, Sarah and I met a few months ago and I got to listen to her speak, and you'll find all about the Frog Lady in a little bit. It's a great way to bring in what you're talking about today.
Thank you.
Before we get into our topic, why don't you just tell us how you got into leadership, or, you know, your leadership journey when it comes to what you do?
Mm-hmm. I actually come from the world of organizational industrial behavior. So I had the good fortune of having amazing mentors, and they would tap me on the shoulder and say, would you like to take on this new project? And eventually those projects ended up becoming a leadership role, and have just had the privilege of being tapped on the shoulder. And my last role was in a senior leadership position. And I thought I would probably spend my end of my career just climbing that corporate ladder until my son had a mental health crisis. And it brought everything into perspective. So it really shifted my formal leadership journey into being a business leader. So now I run my own company, and I have for 10 years. And so now I get a chance to, like you, support leaders in their, in their work. So I've had a lot of different, I kind of feel like I'm the people leader now for a wonderful team, a small but mighty team. And so it's been great to be able to bring that formal leadership experience in the corporate world into being able to be an entrepreneurial leader too.
Mm-hmm, that's excellent. And I'm in the same place. You know, I had a lot of projects that I would do just to help build my skills and got into leadership, and eventually left the corporate world just like you to do my own business. So yeah, there's, you know, and then when you lead your own business, you have to be that business leader, right? Like, you don't have a choice, but having our experiences in our back pocket really does help.
Yeah. I can't imagine doing that without having had the privilege of being able to lead amazing people in organizations and being able to see with humility how other people truly are the engines of change. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I know you get that too. I think we have had brief conversations about how the people that have reported to us, not just the people we've reported to, have been some of the people that have really helped to shape and inform us in our work to this day.
Absolutely agree. I mean, our own employees teach us every day, right? That's how we grow as great leaders. So absolutely. I want to get into a very exciting topic. I love this topic because I think it's so important and sometimes so badly missed, which is about recognition.
Well, it can lead to recognition if you don't have recognition.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So recognition, why recognition? Why is that something that you have your business or your speaking opportunities based around?
Yeah. When we would go in, I and my team, to teams that were imploding, whether it be low engagement that was sustained over time, right through to massive quality issues, turnover crises, if we did not help those teams to stabilize through a culture of meaningful recognition as the foundation, as soon as we would leave, all of the good work we would do with that team would fall apart. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I both know, we kind of connected on this level, right? Is that we understand that if people don't feel seen, heard, and valued, how invested are they? How much effort do they give? And even if you did keep giving that discretionary effort, you probably are at the risk of bullying or incivility behaviors, because at some point your extra effort may be the target of other people's criticism or bad behavior. And just frankly, how do you know you're doing a great job if nobody ever acknowledges what is working? So that's the foundation of it, my friend, is that we would use it so successfully to help teams in crisis. And then when we started applying it organizationally to make us stronger, oh my gosh, we had the most satisfied organization. So
it's just one word that can really change. I remember years and years and years ago, before I became a leader, our HR leader started writing thank you notes to people just randomly. Hey, thank you, Tara, for helping me out with this project or whatever that looked like. And I was like, wow, in my previous, you know, job, it was very toxic. I mean, thank yous never happen. Recognition, what's that? I left, no job. So it goes to tell you when we don't recognize our people, we don't manage things well, they leave, because I was one of those people. And then I get this card from the HR manager and I thought, wow, what's this? Like, I love it, right?
And you're still talking about it. I love that.
I know. And we're talking 20 years ago that this happened, you know, something so small that can be so huge for an organization. It's very personal. It was a personal note. And it happened throughout as well, my organization, every once in a while, even from our head office, I got one time in the mail. Just those, you know, those little things. Good mail.
I say it's good mail. Normally all that you get now are bills from CRA, you know, other bills, random, you know, the equivalent of mail spam, right? You know, those silly things about, no, I do not need an HVAC system. But then all of a sudden you get this lovely note, unexpected, and it just makes you smile. I'm sure your listeners can think about the last time that they received a thank you note in the mail or on their desk, or, you know, it's through maybe an electronic means. And you don't forget those moments. And what's so undervalued in the experience of a thank you note is that it literally is a thing that people will remember, you know, as you say, years later. It's also the thing that people can pull out, remember what their greatness is in times of chaos and strain and stress, which of course we're experiencing across the world, particularly America right now. Mm-hmm. So imagine if the thank you note that you wrote 8 years ago to somebody that you don't even remember you took the time on a Friday afternoon to do it is what they're pulling out right now to get them through their day. That is the definition of being an influencer.
And what's really great about the little thank you note, personalized.
Yes.
It's not just, hey, everybody, here's a coffee. Y'all did great. No, this is a personalized thing that people really remember, right?
Yeah, sure. You don't even need a business case. All you need to do is you could go to the Dollar Tree. I encourage my clients to, you could order on Vistaprint, your internal print shop, something that is unique, get a whole bunch of those and then make a few new ones. Yeah. And I mean, my husband's a teacher. He's been a teacher for 21 years. He gets handwritten notes from students. These are high
school wonderful.
Students. Let's contrast that to the director of education. So my husband, every 5 years, because often years of service, right? Organizations celebrate those things. He'll get a note every 5 years, a card in his organizational mail. And it's just signed. And, you know, for 5 years, doing all of the work that you're doing, all you can get is just a signature. No acknowledgement from the principal that you report to, no crowdsourcing of ideas from other teachers. I mean, what I would say to that school system is, give a list of all of your teachers at the beginning of the year to the principal or vice principal. Pick a leader in that organization. Identify all those teachers and then go and ask people, hey, I want to write a note to Stephen and Tara and Sarah this month. Tell me what's great about them. Why? What difference do their students make? Then you see a student in the hallway. Hey, aren't you in Tara's class or Mrs. Tara's class? Yes. Okay. What do you like about being in her class? Ask three people, write it down in a note. These are some things I heard about you. That teacher would hold on to that note. Instead, what my husband does is he'll say, wow, new card, different number, same card with a different number on it and a signature. Boy, do I feel motivated. The director of education might as well not even bother doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think too, like what you're explaining, like asking people, you can do that in any organization. It doesn't have to be just an education. I could go and say, hey, Sarah, what do you think about Sean? Tell me more about him. What could I appreciate? What do you love? Get some feedback and send them that personalized note if that's it. Let me ask you this. Are there any other like general mistakes people are making? I mean, obviously just the signature and another number, that's very impersonal. And I mean, 5 years should be rewarded with something. What other mistakes are we making?
Well, let's talk about appreciation events. They tend to be only the formal milestones. And definitely, if you have long service and you're lucky enough to have people who are loyal, for sure. I mean, I'm not saying get rid of those. However, those cards are not the only impersonal thing. They're usually very stuffy, very formal. Sometimes people get a certificate, but the name is misspelled. When the person who is encouraging people to come up on the stage, which, by the way, not a lot of people actually like to be walking across the stage or being recognized. That's very awkward for them. But also, imagine so many people don't even take the time to figure out the phrenetic pronunciation of people's names. When I'm an MC at an event, I spend more time deducing how to say somebody's name. And if I don't understand it, I will not just Google. I will then phone up that person or somebody who works with that person and write it out, because I figure if I am supposed to be helping to honor and acknowledge these people, this was the name that they were given or that they married into. This is a precious thing for them, because it's inconvenient to me, should not make their contribution less valuable. So that's another mistake people make, is they put all the time into picking the color of the balloons and the napkins and booking the Holiday Inn, but then they don't actually take the time to find out anything about the people, let alone how to say or spell their name correctly. So when you're going to do something, do it well, do fewer things really well, rather than try to boil the ocean and have this super complex recognition strategy that nobody feels a sense of connection to.
Again, going back to the personal message, right? The personal needs to be part of it, or it means really it's just like, okay, here's our 5 year, here's our 10 year, blah, blah, blah. I have to go to this thing, right? Rather than it be something that's really personalized and means something to people,
About
right?
your dentist, if you're, you know how you get those little bags from your dental office, right? With the little toothpaste. I actually love those because those are all my travel things that I take with me.
Yeah, they're perfect.
Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Travel stuff. What if the hygienist wrote a note in there and put it in there and said, I am so impressed. You are the queen of flossing. I wish that you could teach a course to all of my other non-flossers. That would be kind of cute and funny. Just a little tiny note. Put it in the bag, because everybody gets the bag. But what they don't get is the note. Or from the dentist who is taking a look at your file, and it's not your, you don't need to actually see the dentist that visit, but the dentist could say, I've had the privilege of serving you and your family for the last 10 years. I want to tell you, it's been a pleasure to see your family grow. Thank you for your loyalty. I would actually be more loyal to that. And if I'm considering switching dentists or about to move away and I'm thinking, do I want to bother to drive all that way in? I would probably stay with them. But why don't they do it in dental offices? I hear so frequently the workplace environment of those offices is not healthy. So it kind of goes back to how you began this conversation. Is it seems like it's something so small and we minimize it, but there is this ripple effect. If it doesn't happen within you don't see the value. You may not recognize somebody else. You don't recognize your closest colleagues or staff. They probably don't recognize each other. If they're not recognizing each other, they probably don't recognize other departments, their customers, their suppliers. So you have this ripple effect of criticism, when in actual fact, connection before correction, we should be first, making sure that people know why their work matters and why they matter to us, so that they keep adding that value for their benefit, our benefit, our shared benefit, because we're here for a purpose, and let's acknowledge it.
And you've hit on a couple of words that I was literally telling a client this morning. They have to know why. Why is this important to them? Not why it's important to you, why it's important. You have to start with them. So we were talking processes. So why is this new process you're putting in place important to them? If you want the buy-in, we got to start there. We got to reward the small wins when they start making changes. And that could be, you know, as a team, maybe it's a recognition, maybe it's a person who's struggling to come along, finally comes along, you send them a personal note, whatever those things are. And then the why of the organization and you as a leader. But the why has to start with them. Again, that personalization connection we've been talking about, right? It's so very, very important, especially with change.
And to your point around that good counsel to your client around acknowledge the small wins, if we acknowledge, and I don't mean be trite about it. I don't mean we're trying to treat people like children, where every tiny little inconsequential thing. What you said, and I hope the listeners heard it, is if that was a big stretch for that person, they really have not been following the process. And this person has taken the first, maybe seemingly small, but it was a step in the direction of following a process. That is, that first step is probably the most important thing to reinforce so that then they take the next one. And once they start to get on a roll, okay, great. Now they understand the value. They're experiencing the benefit for themselves of now following the process. They get the why, they're internalizing the why. Maybe they really feel like, oh, actually this isn't so hard, or wow, this is a lot easier to work with people and I love working with people. This is great. So now it attaches to their intrinsic motivation, right? What motivates them from within. However, if we want to create a new behavior, or we want to create a shared behavior shift, we need to recognize and reward the thing that we want to see repeated.
Yes, yes.
And so exactly. it seems like, you know, sometimes people will say to me, isn't that manipulative? And I'll say, it is if you're trying to make people do something that they shouldn't do. Yeah, that's manipulative. However, if it is for the good of the client, the good of the team, the good of the individual, the good of the sector, it's not being manipulative. It's helping people to shift to the type of behavior that will lead to success. Recognition is such an underutilized tool to build motivation, collaboration, communication, connection. So, you know, I like to say to people, it's the one of the few tools that everybody has in their toolkit. It's not just the leader, it's not just HR. Everybody can recognize clients, customers, partners, suppliers. So why not go first? You know, that's the thing for your leaders who are listening. Formal leader, informal leader, go first and other people will follow. In fact, you probably will get the kind of recognition you deserve if you are doing more recognition of other people.
And you're right on, because just because someone else isn't doing it doesn't mean that we can't. And it could be for your own peers.
Yes.
You know, just saying, thanks so much for answering that phone call for me, Sarah. You know what? I was so busy. I greatly appreciate it. That little thing can go a long way for collaboration and team, you know, teamwork. Before we get into, I want to know more about the frog lady. I just want to know, because a lot of people think recognition and rewards have to be pricey, right? You have to do this great big thing. And we've talked about a few things that are very little to no cost. Do you have any other examples that if it is a smaller company, or it's going to be this year for many people, budget cut, no more spending, holding, whatever, what can we do that is either no cost or low cost to really help recognize and reward our employees, whether that be for the big event, the 5 years, or for those small milestones that people need for motivation? What do you think?
Yeah. And you will probably remember this from my keynote. A big thing that I talk about is that we say the words reward and recognition in a sentence. You know, we jumble them up and it's almost like we treat them as having the same meaning. But you and I both know, and hopefully our listeners can already read between the lines, that they are actually too unique. They can feed each other, but they are unique. So recognition taps into people's intrinsic motivation, what they value. And it's things like a thank you note. It's the connection. It's that relationship currency that gets built between two people or a group of people. The rewards is what people may find it hard to afford. Is the question that you're asking. And it's a very relevant one, because you do have to make a lot of really challenging choices. We've got whole sections of the government that may be eliminated in the US over the next year or less.
Yeah.
And so the first thing to go will be people, let alone the reward system. So even if you had the reward system, if half the people are missing, I mean, how much are people going to be utilizing it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, rewards are things like gift cards, a paycheck. I mean, hey, people need that.
We need those.
They're not volunteers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Benefits. And so your compensation strategies attached to your rewards philosophy. Of course, if you give people bonuses and other incentives. However, with rewards without recognition, it almost feels like, and I'm going to be really transparent here, it's almost like bribing people to do a particular thing to keep performing. And it becomes very transactional. As long as your store is the top performing store, then you will be rewarded with a holiday. Well, what happens if beyond your control, you can't be the top performing store? They completely ripped up the road in front of your building. And so, yes, you are the best leader and you have the most amazing sales team that you've worked so hard to build for the last 10 years. You can't stop the fact that they're ripping up the road in front of you or your pipes burst and you had to be closed for a month. But your compensation rewards program is not going to change based on context. So automatically, we have a problem with rewards because it's not all tied to that individual or even that whole, you know, team. Not to mention the fact that so if the store manager gets to go on the trip, what about all the other people that supported that store to be?
Yes.
So, you know, that's a key thing to think about is that. If before being concerned, if leaders are listening to this saying, you know, I'm really concerned that our points-based system is going to, you know, to go by the wayside, look at it as a holistically and see, is your reward system working perfectly anyway? I'm willing to bet it's not. So use this as an opportunity to look at what is working and how to preserve the best of what is. Look at what's not working and see how you can fix that. And the things that you're looking at, go out and talk to people. An example of this, I was building a whole rebuilding a rewards and recognition strategy for a global mining company. And they had decided to eliminate something called jackets. So this turned out to be a really big problem. They wanted to cut costs, reduce the years of service because they had so many tenured employees. They're spending a fortune on these really fancy leather jackets. Well, this was a source of pride. If you lived in a mining town and you put on your cool jacket, really good quality stitching, and your parent had one and your grandparent had one, in fact, you could open the front door of a closet and see years of jackets because every 5 years you get a jacket and it's cross generations. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, you're the fourth generation in this mining community and you've got a nylon, you know, like it's not no stitching. It's even just like a plastic overlay and it's already
off.
It's only been a year. Are you proud to work where you are? Is that jacket representing you being there, giving up weekends, evenings, all that discretionary effort you give for 5 years? No. So my first recommendation was bring back the jackets.
Yeah. It's pride. You want to be part of that four generations.
If you want to have a generation five, find out why there is pride over generations. Most industries would be so thrilled to have a problem with too many long service awards that are costing us, quote, a fortune. It's actually saving you a lot of money because you're not having all of the retraining, onboarding.
Turnover.
Stick issues, you know, safety issues, quality issues. So they looked at the rewards budget as a budget line.
Yeah, not a number.
It is your insurance policy. So when you
love that,
that should be the last thing to go. Improve it so it deserves to have the budget that it does. But don't change it until you talk to the people who are the next recipients of whatever reward or incentive that will be. Because as soon as you change it, that signals to those people who were about going, they were expecting to get it, how much they feel they matter to the organization.
And what an amazing example too. I mean, yeah, turnover costs so much money. And if you just look at a line of a budget for rewards and you cut that, guess what happens? Your other costs go way up, right?
Yes.
So before we, I don't want to wrap up without telling everybody, Frog Lady.
So Frog stands for forever recognize others' greatness.
That's
and
right.
why the forever starts the whole thing is because we need to continually be looking for the greatness within ourselves and others, not just on Fridays and not just once a year on Employee Appreciation Day or not just every 5 years. It's forever because the greatness is around us all the time. And it's also in people. They may be complaining. Well, complainers, we don't need to not recognize them. It's let's listen for their greatness behind the complaint, because whatever they're negative about is probably something that we need to be listening to.
Oh, so, I would agree.
Yeah. So forever, forever recognize others' greatness. And the greatness is the extraordinary that is in the ordinary. And so, yeah, look, frog, I encourage people to go and frog people.
I was going to say, just so everybody knows, when you see her speak, she hands out frog related fun stuff from probably the dollar store or some, you know, place where you can buy some of those things. I love it. It was a lot of fun to watch you speak about that.
Yeah. I love it when people will, I'll, you know, if I'm the opening speaker, let's say, and I'll hand out frog eye masks and you know, headbands.
I remember the headbands. Yeah.
Eggs and all kinds of fun things, or charms, frog charms. People will tie them to their badges, or they'll be wearing them around the conference. What's so great is when I overhear people say, "Where's that from?" And they'll say, "Oh, I was frogged." What's frog? Oh, well, I was, my greatness is recognized. It was kind of like a weird sort of situation, but it made me realize how awesome I am. I'm like, I don't care if somebody doesn't remember what frog is. That's the whole point, is they needed to have an experience in that moment where they remembered and were able to connect with their greatness. And hopefully every time they look at that weird frog paraphernalia, they say, you know, at a conference, my greatness was so visible. I got this super random, strange frog thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The conference, what my greatness was. And I will overhear people talking about, yeah, you know what? I am actually pretty great. And they'll talk about their greatness, and then they'll say, and what is yours? And it just creates these really beautiful little exchanges that wouldn't have maybe happened had it not been for a visual cue of something that's different. It's like a pattern interrupt, you know, that breaks ordinary. So yeah, we frog people at conferences. Last week I was speaking at a big sales kickoff for the year, and the hospitality staff were amazing. I mean, just like, they are such beautiful souls. Those people who work in hospitality, my son's working his way through college right now, and he's working in hospitality, and he very rarely gets, not only does he not get thanked, he gets criticized and blamed, and just, it's awful. And I remember what that was like. So I always try to be different, you know, and I pulled out frog compliment cards. I have a whole deck of over 50 compliment cards, and I pulled out a couple for the incredible banquet staff. And I gave them, I just said, I, you don't know me, but I've been watching the amazing work you've been doing, and I feel like these cards are you. And one was, you know, you're very gracious and grateful. And another one was, you know, I think the other one was around honesty is an element of your life. 'Cause she was very, very honest about something with her colleague, and a shortage of food or something like that. Anyway, she was like taken aback. She said, "Oh, these are me. This is incredible." And I gave some to her colleague too. And they showed it to their manager. And I heard, she sent me a private message on Instagram. And she said, "We had such a brutal week. We had blizzards. We had to stay overnight. on site because people couldn't get into work, but we still had conferences. We ran out of food. The clients were really frustrated and they were stressed because they were struggling. And I said, I just kept pulling out my cards and remembering that I was doing the best that I could and that it was good enough. So
That's
just hearing
awesome.
that was like, it reminds people remind me every day that this is not just a nice to have. It's messages like that amazing lady who is doing the best she can, serving great people food, that she needed to hear it, and she hears it too infrequently. So any listener, if you haven't told somebody today how amazing they are, don't assume that they know or that they've heard it lately. Go and tell somebody who is doing amazing work in the world, whether it be making you coffee or raising your children when you're at work, or picking up your garbage at the end of the road. Tell them why they make a difference, because they probably haven't heard it lately.
And I'm also going to put that into the organization and say, leaders, tell your leaders, your board, those people at the levels that don't ever hear thank yous, tell them, your peer, right? Yeah. Just give them that little bit of recognition today, because they don't hear it as often either.
Thank you for that reminder, Tara, because it's so true. It's so true. And you can't give something you don't have.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Great reminder. Senior leaders, owners, executives, they need to remember that they are doing the best they can too.
Exactly. We could talk for hours on this, but we are out of time. So if our audience did want to learn more about you, speaking opportunities, or working with you, how could they find you online?
Come on over to greatnessmagnified.com and also connect with me on LinkedIn. And you and I are both there all the time. I know,
yes,
Tara.
Yes, we are.
So Sarah McFannell, MCV, as in Victor, A-N-E-L. Let's connect.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the conversation today. Very important. And I hope a lot of people are taking a lot away from this today.
Thank you.
Thank you, of course, to our audience. We do hope that you gained some valuable information or some tips on recognition today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and growth are the way to move on your leadership journey, or perhaps you want to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.